Elder Robert D. Hales was called as a general authority on April the 4th, 1975. He served as an assistant to the Quorum of the 12 Apostles and later as a member of the First Quorum of the 70. He was the 11th presiding bishop of the church, serving from 1985 until called to the Quorum of the 12 Apostles in 1994. A native of Long Island, New York, Elder Hales attended the University of Utah and worked at local television stations to pay his expenses. He met his wife, Mary Crandall, when he returned to New York to work for the United Nations as summer employment. They were married during his senior year, and they are the parents of two sons. Elder Hales graduated from the University of Utah and served in the United States Air Force as a jet fighter pilot. After completing his military service, he went to Harvard and there received his MBA degree. He had a distinguished business career, serving in executive positions with three major multinational corporations. His willingness to serve in the church has always been evident. He has served as a bishop three times, once in Boston, once in Chicago, and once in Frankfurt, Germany. He served in a branch presidency in Seville, Spain, as a branch president in Albany, Georgia, a seminary teacher in Downey, California, and a member of the High Council in the London, England stake. He was the president of the England-London Mission from 1978 to 1979 and has served as the first counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. We are honored to have Elder Hales preside at this year's commencement, and we are grateful to have him and Sister Hales with us today. Elder Hales.
What a great day it is for you and for me to be here with you, and for us to feel and share the excitement of this very important commencement exercise, and to share in the celebration of the wonderful day of accomplishment in your life. Congratulations on all that you have done to receive your associate degree, and as you look to the future. It's a marvelous time for you and your family. Hopefully, you'll have the opportunity to express appreciation to the teachers who have taught you. That has been discussed a number of times in the last 2 days. If you have not had the opportunity, please either write or personally express appreciation to those special teachers and, as has been stated, also to your parents. Please express appreciation to them for the support they've given you and the love they've shown you in support during these critical years of your life to gain an education. It's interesting that the word commence means to begin or to start. You may feel you've just concluded your education and accomplished a goal. You've completed something, but with this ceremony today, you're starting on a new era in your life, which will be a continuing education with each decision you make. You're entering the decade of decision that will pattern what you will do for the rest of your life. For just a moment, let me just pause and put in your mind the decisions you're making. First of all, the huge doors of opportunity that open for you swing on very small hinges of decisions. Those doors can open for opportunity or they can be closed to you, depending on the decisions you make. It's also very interesting for you to realize that you are in a world which is changing all the time. We watch sometimes in the political process as there is a populace or a poll that affects how some make their decisions, but for you, you don't have that choice. About 25 years ago, I stood at a podium like this. It was at Brigham Young University where I was speaking. And I talked to them about the fact that the Church of Jesus Christ was here and would stay here with all of its principles, all of its, I would say, everything about the church in terms of its doctrine remains here, stationary. It will not move. The world, on the other hand, moves and goes. It's passed out of this building. It's now out somewhere by Hawaii. In the 25 years, but we remain here. There are many who would like to conduct their life in such a way that they were just behind where the world was and they would be very happy. I have people ask me all the time, why do we have to have such a wide variance in where the world is and where we are? But the point of it is, as we come to the second coming of Jesus Christ, as we come to the last days, and we are in the latter days, and this is the last dispensation, the dispensation of time, priesthood never to be taken from the earth, and we will be here when the world has long gone, but we must remain stationary. Those two things you have to remember as we have our discussion today. One, it's on very small hinges that these large doors of opportunity swing, those hinges of decision. And second, you're in a changing world, a world that only is possible for you to remain and be true and faithful if you remain faithful to those things that are stationary and do not move. Now, as a child, you probably watched through a process of metamorphosis. You know, a fuzzy caterpillar built a cocoon around itself and weeks later emerged as a beautiful butterfly. During the first stage of metamorphosis, the female butterfly deposited her eggs on a food source. Each egg hatched into a larva, which immediately began vociferously eating from the food source, completing the second stage and preparing for the third. During stage three, the insect surrounded itself with a cocoon, which had already had been attached to a branch or tree or a shrub. And from all outward appearances in stage three, the insect larva showed no activity, but inside the cocoon, an astonishing transformation was taking place. The larva was using a vast amount of energy, consumed in age two to resemble itself, reassemble itself into an adult form. Stage four, the butterfly. I'd like to talk about the four stages of your life today. The word metamorphosis is defined as a transformation, as by magic or sorcery, a marked change in appearance, character, condition, or function, a change in the form and often habits of an animal during normal development, end of quote. As with the transformation of the butterfly, we too must undergo many transformations in our life. I'd like to divide them down into decades. To successfully accomplish these transformations, much needs to be learned in proper sequence at each stage. To everything there is a season and a time and every purpose under heaven. The transformation in our lives seem to be divided into decades of learning and accomplishment. The first decade takes us through infancy and childhood. This is a remarkable decade when a spirit child comes from their heavenly father and comes from a spirit world into a land of mortality, to suffer and to have pain and to be able to learn and endure to the end. Our first transition was to this mortal body, which we had to learn to use and to control. Research tells us that even before birth, the fetal mind is literally exploding with neuron cell growth that will be peaked for learning from the moment the child enters mortality. In such a state of readiness and quickly learning, we have responded to the sights, the sounds, the feelings from the world around us. We learned to use words, express ourselves as we related to our parents. We gained a sense of self, and while at the same time emerging into a social being. The transitions from one stage of development to another are facilitated by the guidance, the encouragement, and oftentimes, such as today, the cheering of loving parents. With parental teaching and guidance, we learn to discern between right and wrong. As a little child, Satan could not tempt us. In such a pure state, we could easily recognize feelings of the Spirit, and in our simple faith, our testimony of the Savior began to develop. It is this state that the Savior says to be as a child and to come unto Him. We must not forget that. Our first 8 years are the foundation of learning, which prepares us for the doctrinal age of accountability. It is when we develop our social and moral attitudes towards life so that we will have the knowledge and the desire to conduct our lives in a way that will transcend from the temporal to the eternal. It is when the basic personality of the child emerges and self-sufficiency begins to develop. It is a time when the mind is unencumbered with the things of the world, and so pure is the vessel that it can be taught truths that we know why we came here and what we are to accomplish here in mortality. At the age of 8, there was a change. We were eligible for baptism, those who were born in the church. Converts go through the same process. And another remarkable transition begins to take place. We enter into what I will call the preparatory decade. We are taught to embrace the preparatory gospel of faith, repentance, baptism, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Baptism is the gate of the kingdom of God, where we are placed on the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life and through the temple on the way. Whether at 8 years of age or as a convert at an older age, all who want to leave the world and enter the kingdom of God must therein enter in the ordinance of baptism. At baptism, we make certain covenants with our Heavenly Father, and by so doing, we take upon us the name of Jesus Christ and become a member of His church. Part of this transition is accepting certain responsibilities which are taught in the Book of Mormon. Be willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light. Willing to mourn with those that mourn, comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as a witness of God at all times and in all places, that ye may, in even until death, that you may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that you may have eternal life. After baptism, we continue to grow and develop. Our second decade is a critical decade when the values and pressures of the world complicate our choices. It is during this preparatory decade that another transformation takes place. Young men receive the Aaronic priesthood, sometimes referred to as the preparatory priesthood. Young women are welcomed into the young women's program of the church to fortify them against the influences of the world. The young women's values of faith, divine nature, individual worth, knowledge, choice, and accountability, good works, and integrity are incorporated into their lives. Values that, if they will be obedient, will protect them as they prepare to go to the temple and endure to the end. The second decade of preparation is designed to prepare us for the most important decisions that we will have to make in mortality. You have been prepared by coming to Ricks College and to complete the requirements of your degree. During these years, we prepare for adulthood by learning how to take responsibility for our actions and building the qualities of maturity that prepare us to make wise choices. We prepare to be worthy to go to the temple for sacred ordinances offered there. Those who hold the Aaronic priesthood prepare for the receiving of the Melchizedek priesthood and going to the temple and on missions. Let me pause there for a moment. Many who went on missions thought that they went through the temple to qualify to go on the mission. It is completely the reverse. The greatest thing that happened is you went to the temple and then were allowed to go on a mission to live the law of consecration. Therein lies a great principle of teaching. The eternal blessings that received in the temple made it possible to live in service here on earth. We receive an education in gospel and build strong testimonies which will guide us in every decade of our lives and will help us to endure to the end in mortality. We're learning more about the gospel of Jesus Christ and forming stronger commitments to be obedient. We are preparing ourselves for a worthy companion to take to the temple and there to be sealed for time and all eternity. In these years, we developed and grew and prepared ourselves to leave our homes. It is during these years that we learned the importance of being obedient and of the consequence of disobedience. We learned that we cannot be happy when we are not obedient to the commandments which have been taught us. We learned to connect what we have been taught at home and in seminary and institute to how we can apply that knowledge in our own lives, in our families, in our occupations, that the acquired knowledge can bring joy and peace, and also to help and serve to lift others. We learn who we are and what we are going to be. You now stand in that transition, which has taken you through the preparatory period from the ages of 12 to about 20, and can be particularly difficult for both child and parents at times. Young people today live in a world full of choices that older generations did not have. Some of these choices lead to the light of Christ, others to the darkness of the adversary. You are poised on the threshold of the most important decade of your life, which I'd like to call the decade of decision. Now, on this matter, looked at in how I'm going to describe it, it looks almost insurmountable. But remember, you do it one day at a time, being obedient, saying your prayers, reading the scriptures, and being close to your Heavenly Father and having faith. Previous decades have been in preparation for this decade. The decisions you will make during this decade will shape your life for all the decades to come. The decade of decision is the foundation of your family tradition, your personal family tradition, which you will start as you follow the gospel. Weighty decisions which you will have been preparing for now have to be made. How do you make a good decision? The Lord said to Oliver Cowdery when he wanted to translate the Book of Mormon, "Behold, you have not understood. You have supposed that I would give it unto you, when you took no thought save it were to ask me. Behold, I say unto you, that you must study it out in your mind, that you must ask me if it be right, and if it be right, I will cause that your bosom shall burn within you. Therefore, you shall feel that it is right. But if it not be right, you shall have no such feeling, you shall have a stupor of thought that should cause you to forget the thing which is wrong." End of quote. We must do all we can to honestly assess what is reasonable and possible with the situations we are going to face, and then go to the Lord to get the feelings of peace that our plan is right. In order to make wise decisions, we need to have the Spirit of the Holy Ghost with us. For this to happen, we need to be obedient to the commandments and the counsel of the Lord. In this decade of decisions, there are three decisions that will influence our lives throughout mortality. The first decision will be to honor the commitments we've made with the Lord. If we have been to the temple, it will be to honor the covenants which you have made there. A covenant is a sacred and solemn promise with God. It is what is required for us to have eternal life. Heavenly Father requires covenants from his children because he loves us and wants us to return back into his presence. Covenants mark our spiritual progress, beginning with baptism, which puts us on the road to eternal life. Temple covenants keep us on the path leading to our goal of eternal life and commit us to live righteously on a daily basis. They are everlasting. They are timeless. Covenants bring promised blessings, but we have to be faithful if we're going to have them be binding in our life. Frequent temple attendance helps us to remember our covenants and be obedient. For those of you who have gone to the temple and received your endowments, you should make a commitment to take a companion to the temple during this decade and to be sealed for time and all eternity. In order to be sealed to our sweetheart in the temple, we must make sure we are prepared by being morally clean and worthy of an eternal companion. We have to be living our life in a way in which the person we want as a companion is going to be comfortable with our spirituality and our dedication. From our friendships, we choose those whom we will more likely date. The wise young man or woman who chooses to date those who share their values, take the time to outline the kind of person you are looking for, and then try to be that type of person who you want to be your companion. What are some of the qualities you may want to look for in a companion? Choose a best friend, someone you're able to trust. Notice how they talk to their mother and father and their brothers and sisters. Be sure it is with respect. After you marry, they will more than likely talk to you and your family in the same manner. Have some serious discussions on what they want to do with their lives, what they plan 5 or 10 years from now. Measure how they look at the future, not just the present. So much of this early courtship is based on physical attraction, but it is such a small part of the relationship. It's important, but physical attraction needs to be put in perspective. We must base our decisions on what is inside their head and inside their heart. What kind of language do they use, especially when they are disturbed or angry? What are their other friends like? do you feel comfortable with and enjoy being around their friends? How they speak about the priesthood and leaders when they're away from their families? Are they worthy to hold a temple recommend? When we are satisfied with the assessment of these qualities, then we must ask ourselves, do I have the same qualities I am seeking in a companion? The second major decision we will make is what we will do with our mind in seeking further education and the beginning of a career. All of us have been given gifts and talents. It is during these past 2 years when you have learned some of the gifts and talents which you possess and which you must develop. For all have not every gift given unto them, for there are many gifts, and every man is given a gift by the Spirit of God. To some is given one, to some is given another, that all may be profited thereby. I would hope that you would use your gifts to lift and to strengthen others. We need to realistically get to know ourselves to maximize the gifts and talents we've been given. One purpose of education is to become self-reliant. Some of you may be going on to get a higher degree, or perhaps you're going to go to a technical school, or work with your chosen field to perfect one of your gifts, to give you a viable opportunity for self-sufficiency and service. Don't let life just happen. Plan what you are trying to accomplish. Know more about yourself, who you are. What are your capabilities? What do you want to do in life? Decide where you're going to be in 6 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now. If your goal is self-sufficiency, outline what you need to achieve that goal. We are not alone. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Cultivate the childlike quality of putting your trust in the Lord. It's a very hard thing to gain more and more knowledge and still be reminded to be childlike. Intellectually, the world can absolutely destroy a person if he or she does not continue their spiritual development. In continuing our education or choosing our employment, be careful not to achieve things for how they appear to others. Comparing yourself to others will only bring unhappiness and self-deprivation and self-depreciation. We must not try to be something we are not, but try to be the very best we can be. We must learn how to receive counsel and advice from others. Talking to people does not count unless we listen. If we listen, our advisor will become a trusted friend who can provide referrals and keep the open doors there for us. The third major decision of our decade of decision will be what we are going to give back to the world for what we have been given. The song that says, "Because I have been given much, I too must give," has great meaning because we must determine how we are going to spend our time and talents to help others. It is important to gain an education to help us to be self-sufficient, but it is also equally important to gain an education so we may be able to lift and strengthen others, especially those who are our closest friends, neighbors, members of the ward or stake, those in our community. The world's expectation is that we will become educated to compete for a prestigious occupation with a lofty title or a position that will make us wealthy and have the abundance of temporal possessions. The Lord's expectation is that we become educated to collect the riches of eternity so that we will be better prepared to be a good companion and father, and be able to provide for an eternal family. It is that we gain the knowledge and the experience necessary to be a good wife or mother, who is better prepared to nurture her children. It is both husband and wife who will have the wisdom to obey the commandments of God and to serve others. By using our education and wisdom and making these major decisions, first, to honor the commitments we've made with the Lord. Second, what will we do with our minds in seeking further education and the beginning of our careers? And third, what are we going to do to give back to the world for all that we've been given? We will have the base upon which we can rear our families and be able to find joy and peace and happiness while we are here on earth. The key element for each of the decades that follow is to have strength to endure to the end through the trials which we will inevitably face. It is through endurance that joy and peace will come into our lives. Joseph in Egypt resisted Potiphar's wife. He ran from danger. And though he was imprisoned, His acts of obedience and resisting evil brought him peace, even in that season of his life. On the other hand, when King David thought about what he had done with Bathsheba and her husband, he felt the anguish of the soul. Joseph was in prison and felt peace. King David was on the throne and racked with torment. The Lord said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Our obedience shows how much we love the Lord. We've discussed a number of major changes that will occur in our lives, the metamorphosis, if you will, from birth until the time we return home to our Heavenly Father. The transition from one stage of life to another is often exciting, but sometimes a challenge. We move from a familiar condition to an unfamiliar, from the old to the new. Perhaps we have grown comfortable in our present setting, and now we're being asked to commence and to progress. We may be excited for the change of looking forward to new friends and opportunities that will surely come, or there will be a feeling of anxiety because of the unknown and the uncertainty of change in the future. We can ease the transition of love and enjoy the changes that are inevitable. To do so, we should remember that one purpose of life is to give us experiences, and that these experiences help us develop character and temper our feelings. We must have faith and accept the change with a positive, cheerful outlook. The way we think about a change determines how we feel about it. The Savior taught, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The important word here is let. The Lord has blessed us with agency and power to control our feelings. We must work to do our best and then rely on the Lord to help where we may fall short. Work is a necessary foundation for the accomplishments and success. The success of a transition from one stage of life to another is determined to a large extent by the efforts we make individually. Parents, leaders, and others can help, but we should not look to others to do what we must do for ourselves. We are accountable. We are responsible. Our character is refined by the efforts and work we do. I ask the Lord's blessings to be with each of you as you enter into this transition, as you go into this incredible decade of decision, that you may turn to your Heavenly Father, that you may know of His love, and that you may also always be constantly reminded that you are a child of God. And so conduct yourself and remember who you are and act accordingly. I give you my testimony that this great work of which we are part is led by a prophet of God, and that the restoration of this gospel in this dispensation has been looked forward to for many dispensations of time. And now we look forward to the conclusion of this dispensation and the coming of the Lord, that we may be there with our families and be able to return into His presence, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.